While many investors chase a tech boom that has yet to fully materialize, and major indexes already flirt with record highs, it feels like we're running out of those under-the-radar opportunities with the potential to elevate your overall portfolio. But with Masterworks Advisors, you can diversify your investment portfolio beyond stocks and bonds and into blue-chip contemporary art. It's an asset class that's outpaced the S&P 500 for the last 28 years by 64%, and the process doesn't require millions or art expertise. In fact, over the same period, art investing has been an effective way to reduce volatility in a portfolio relative to rate of return. So schedule a call with Masterworks Advisors at masterworks.com/skip. That's masterworks.com/skip. This advertisement relates to the provision of advisory services by Masterworks Advisors, LLC, and is not intended to offer or solicit investment in any securities. Masterworks Advisors is affiliated with Masterworks.
Roxy Soxy.
Good morning, Tam Tam. We did it for each other this time.
We did it. We are loving on each other. If only we could do more of that in the world, right?
No. All we need is love, sweet love.
All we need is love, sweet love. I need someone to make love to me. That's what I need to do. So that I feel better about myself. No, that's not true. That is not true. No. How is your week? The kids are in school now, right?
Oh, yes.
Bray has gone back to school.
She is back to school. Thank God. We've got the kid back in school. It was a little bit of an adjustment just to get back on the schedule. But wouldn't you know, yesterday, the day she goes back to school, I get my period. And this period is not like any other period cycle.
Why? What is this period? What's going? Like, what is wrong with it?
Oh my God, Tamron, this period cycle is fucking my shit up. Like, I am.
What happened?
I just feel like I am not in my body this time around. Like, I feel like physically, I don't feel good. I'm so tired. Like, I'm snappy,
right,
but more snappy than usual.
Yeah, poor David.
No, see?
If he had to deal with the old period, Roxy, I don't know what he has to deal with now. You know what it is? I'm going to tell you because I know so much about hormones.
Girl.
You just had a really intense month, whatever that is, either mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever it was this month. Maybe it was the stress about Bray going back to school, whatever. Mm. Maybe you ate differently. Maybe you drank too much alcohol. Maybe you had too much sugar. Like, for example, when I went to a health retreat a long time ago, I've always had issues with my cycle. And I went to the health retreat, and within that month that I got my period after I went to this health retreat, I had no symptoms. I had no pain. I had no emotional distress. I had no physical symptoms. So my body was completely in alignment. And that is what a period should be. It should be this gentle, lovely, natural detox in a way. And for you, something's been happening in this month, or you're pregnant.
You know what is so funny? David and I actually talked about that yesterday. I was like, do you think he's like, don't even say it?
Or yeah, maybe you were pregnant and now you're not pregnant. So you never know. You never know. So this podcast is going to be interesting because you apparently don't know what you're talking about. So
and neither do you.
I don't either. Well, that is why also I thought about getting this next guest on, because, you know, a lot has changed. As I've got, you know, I'm in my 30s. I don't know what you're in because you've never told me your age, but let's just assume that you're somewhere there. And things have changed definitely when it comes to, you know, LBG, like non-binary. I don't even know some of these terms that have been being said. And so I was like, you know, transgender, I'm got two young girls and I want to expose and teach them and explain to them the right way when it comes to people who are of all different walks of life. And I don't know if I'm doing it correctly. I don't know if I'm saying the right things. I don't know if I'm being offensive without meaning to be. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, why don't we have someone on this show who's non-binary? He's also an author. He's also a coach. He also teaches.
They.
Oh, sorry. See that I did it again. And see, I got confused.
I'm so happy you talked about being offensive and then went into
then I was offensive.
The he pronouns.
And you know what? Like for me, like just then, like I didn't, that just came naturally. So that is the thing that has to, hi, this is Jeffrey Marsh. I have to be, I have to understand that there's a lot that happens that comes naturally, that you don't automatically, it's your automatic thoughts, your automatic programming that just happens, that you don't think of like openly, and you just don't know what you're doing right or what's wrong. So please explain it to me, because I just did it then, which I'm happy to learn from, but it's automatic. And that's what happens to a lot of us.
Well, yeah. I mean, there always comes this point in being an ally where somebody that you're trying to be an ally to is going to give you the correction. Mm-hmm. And so much of an ally is learning how to be graceful, really, in that situation. Mm-hmm. And may I start by complimenting you?
Oh.
You did just that, right?
Right.
I mean, it was a source of humor, of being human, of saying, I don't know, please tell me, right? Mm-hmm. All of that is, how shall I say it? That's what we really want. That to me is respect.
Right.
Not, you mentioned you don't know all the terms. I do know all the terms, but to me,
teach me all the terms,
right? Yeah. Even before everybody gets the difference between gender fluid versus gender queer versus non-binary, right? What all these words mean, before they even get there, just treating us like a human and just saying, hey, come on my podcast. We have fun.
Explain. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I also have to say something else revealing. Before we started rolling, you gave me the speech that this is a safe place.
Right.
This podcast is a safe place.
Right.
And I can intuit from that, or assume rather, that you guess I am very used to being in situations where I'm not respected.
Right.
Situations that are not safe for people like me. Mm-hmm. And so we have to start right away with, you've created this safe, fun, exciting space. Mm-hmm. And you invited me into it. Mm-hmm.
We need people like you in not only our world, but also in our conversations. Because in my world, in my little world, and I'm sure Roxy too, we have a few people who identify as non-binary. But it's not in our world so much. So it's not something that we understand. I mean, I'll talk for myself. Maybe Roxy does. Don't understand a great deal about. And
yeah,
that's the first problem. It's not always around us. So we then are making mistakes left, right, and center because it's not part of our vocabulary, you know? But then how do we teach our children, who have two young girls? Roxy has a little girl as well. Mine's 7 and 2. When they grow up through what they read, through how they speak to people, through what they see, how do we teach them what's respectful, you know, if we don't have these types of conversations?
I agree 100%. When parents DM me, email me, ask me, what am I going to teach my kid about gender? I always, and it's not meant to be sassy. I mean, it's meant to be honest. I always write back, just keep an eye on what you're not going to teach them. Mm-hmm. Kids these days know quite a lot already, but you know, about the terms, and they've been on the internet, right? And they know all the stuff we've talked about already many times. But also kids intuit that, I'll give you an example, right? So a kid just last week came up to me and said, are you a boy or a girl? And I gave an age-appropriate answer. And I said, you know, I really haven't decided yet today. What do you think?
You're right.
And the kid just rolled with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's there's something about being young where you still have that innocence of approach, seeing the best in people. And so I always just advise parents not to teach that out of the kids. And I know from listening to the two of you, you haven't done that. So you're light years ahead. I know now I have now like twice evaded giving you an exact answer. by complimenting you.
And, I'll take all the compliments. I need them to sleep last night.
But I think, I mean, but that's part of the major point. I mean, so many people come, people like me have gone through being, people are afraid of us. A few years ago, people were like, what's that person? Why is that person in a dress in a shop? And sort of afraid of someone like me. And now we've transitioned over to people are afraid to say the wrong words around me. And like, either way, I'm isolated. You're afraid of me. I don't like being in that position. Right. So what I love about what we've talked about so far is, you know, we can just be frank with each other. It's what I appreciate.
You know, I really took a deep dive into your social media, and I just, and in the best way, I was so hooked, because I was like,
you stalked me.
I did. Like, once somebody looks at one of your videos, I feel like you have to look at all of them, because I just sort of kept scrolling through, and it's, you know, so many things. I mean, you're so vulnerable, you're so authentic, and you're so relatable. Was really what stood out to me. And I love the way that you explained family dynamics and childhood trauma, you know, because we've all been through something, you know, it's nobody comes out of childhood unscathed, you know, in one way or another. And I think for me as a parent, you know, it was very, I could really appreciate what you were talking about. So just to like kind of give people a little bit of a sense of like your history, you know, kind of like sort of the family dynamic that you grew up in. What was that? And how did it kind of shape you? I mean, I know that's the broadest.
Did you get traumatized, Jeffrey?
Tell us about your secrets.
I think, you know, the thing of it too is, I think sometimes as a parent, you don't even realize sometimes the trauma that you're, you know, even if you are trying to do your best and you don't want to traumatize your child, you do, you know, you do. And I think a lot of us as parents are constantly like, oh God, please don't let me fuck out my kid. Like,
oh, we will. We will. Hopefully not too bad.
Yes, I know. And it just makes me like so on edge sometimes. But just for like, if people don't know sort of your story, what was it about, you know, the childhood that sort of shaped you and kind of set you on your path?
Well, it's, I love to start there because as you said, it's almost universal. There's something about human beings and parents that there's a lot of abuse that goes on. And I'm popular on the internet, as you pointed out, and I do talk about childhood trauma. And so that to me says a lot of people can relate to what I say. And especially our parents' generation, there was a way to parent that they thought was just quote unquote good parenting. That was really, really difficult as kids to experience. For example, both of my parents thought for as long as I can remember that it was their job as parents to make me not LGBTQ. That good parents would end up with a kid who is straight, not non-binary, who is, you know, quote unquote, the norm, and that was good parenting. And as I talk about on my channel, my dad, well, and my mom too, to be honest, they tried everything, including violence, to get me not to be me. So I was literally beat up for being this gorgeous. It's a podcast. Just trust that I'm gorgeous.
Don't worry, people will see you in our social media assets.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness. Go look it up.
All your glory.
Go run to the Instagram to see my eyeshadow. Yeah, it's a tale that's unfortunately very common for people like me.
Do you still live, and I'm going to let you finish, but do you still live with that shame? Because it's shaming, right? That the biggest, I think, issues in life is, I know mine is all about shame. And whether it's from when I was brought up, or whether it's from my environment, or what I thought about myself, or whatever, those are the biggest things that I deal with when it comes to my mental health. It always has the path to shame. It always goes back there.
Oh, yeah.
And do you still live with that now?
Absolutely not. Do you want to know what I did?
Yeah, I do. It saved my life.
You know, it's in the social media world, we talk about being a thumb stopper, that people are scrolling by and their thumb stops on you. Mm-hmm. And I happen to, when people run to the Instagram to see my eyeshadow, they'll notice that I'm a thumb stopper. Just visually, there's something that people are like, oh, what's that person? Mm-hmm. And I used to think it was just the look, just the eyeshadow, just the facial hair with lipstick, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's that I am this way and I love myself. Mm-hmm. I am this way and I'm innocent. I am this way and I'm open. I am this way and I'm not bitter. Mm-hmm. And so the golden answer is I went and lived at a Buddhist monastery and I've studied Zen for 20 years. Wow. And that's not always the path for everybody. Mm-hmm. But I think having a chance to be, I never really talked about it this way, but having the chance to be removed from the usual like mm-hmm. society stuff mm-hmm. was really valuable for me to see it for what mm-hmm. it is, which is this made up stuff that's really cruel to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Women included, right? Mm-hmm.
And then to go from the monastery to social media, you know, that's a big jump.
Yes. So,
and it took a lot of courage from you to be able to share your story and to share your experience. How do you sort of, and I know Tamin and I talk about this on the podcast because, you know, a lot of the times I know mental health has a big part of how I react to people on mm-hmm. social media. You know, it's like mm-hmm. if somebody is saying something, you know, one way one day, I might take it as, you know, one way this day and then tomorrow it's totally different. So how do you deal with that? You know, how do you deal with like the people who have like these negative, you know, responses and feelings and, do you just brush it away because, you know, you've had all this wonderful kind of like Buddhist training and, you know, you've been very Zen in your life as well. How do you deal with that?
What's really ironic. Yeah. I was loving the way that you were phrasing that because what's really ironic is Buddhism and Zen training is almost the opposite of quote unquote being Zen in the sense that it made me more sensitive to everything. It was about taking away the walls that I had built up around my being too sensitive, because that's in quotes, right? Mm-hmm. I was always told, you're too sensitive. And so I had built up these walls to seem like I'm not sensitive, and I was sensitive anyway behind the wall, but, you know, and leading back to shame, as you said so beautifully a little bit earlier. And to me, those comments still affect me. There's no way it can't. They affect me in a very particular way. They help to crystallize why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know?
Yeah.
But there is that much hate in the world. Go ahead.
And I do believe I always say that the unhappiness is the fastest pipeline to hate. That's always been my thing. You know, I was very overweight as a kid. We talked about this. I was bullied a lot growing up. And it took me a long time to realize that it was never about me. It was never about me. It was always about them. Hate always comes from somewhere else because people don't understand or they feel threatened or it starts to change their own belief system. And that is confusing and off-putting. And when you don't know how to change yourself, then you want to change other people and it kills you when they don't want to change. Like it makes them even angrier when you just go, I'm sorry that you are having a hard day. I love you and care about you. You must be dealing with your own shit. because people can't deal with having the mirror right in front of them and having to look back at themselves. And that's a big thing. I did want to talk because I know we don't have you for hours and hours, but I want to start, I wish we did. I want to really nail down on some of these questions that people ask because I was like, we have you on the show. And so people want to know for example, what is the social construct that has been placed on us when it comes to gender, when we're just talking about gender, mm-hmm. and what is gender fluid, so people can understand these terms and what it actually means?
Yeah, and to frame that discussion, I'll talk about non-binary, which mm-hmm. is the big umbrella term that folks are using for anyone who is not a man and not a woman. Mm-hmm. And when I say things like that, it's another one of those instances for a lot of people, like you were just talking about, mm-hmm. it causes a lot of reactions in
right,
them.
Right, right.
And instead of going with the reaction, I always encourage people to look at a statement like that as an invitation.
Mm-hmm. Conversation.
Mm-hmm. A conversation, exactly.
Questions, yeah. Even, yeah.
Yeah. So when someone like me says the binary, we're referring to the two genders that most people are taught exist for human beings. Mm-hmm. And so someone like me is non-binary. We're outside of that system of man and woman. Mm-hmm. Most people listening to you all, I am sure, are already on board that the gender roles mm-hmm. are almost total BS. Mm-hmm. Who takes out the trash? Who's good at math? Who, right? Who should get paid?
Who takes care of the kids? Who
takes care of the kids?
Exactly. Who wears pink?
Exactly right. We are over all of that stuff. And that sort of leaves this nebulous place of people thinking, quote unquote, science proves that there are only two genders, right? Mm-hmm. So biologists, endocrinologists, scientists, they've already come out. I mean, this happened years ago. Mm-hmm. There have been numerous studies. 7.8 billion people mm-hmm. on a planet together mm-hmm. are not all going to fit in box one or box two, mm-hmm. even biologically, scientifically. Mm-hmm. So there are people, everything that you think of makes up quote unquote gender from that side of it, your hormones, your chromosomes, your genitalia, whether you have facial hair or not, right? All these sort of characteristics, you're going to find variations mm-hmm. in nature. And so the only thing to take away at this moment in this podcast with you two beautiful people mm-hmm. is it's a lot more varied than you were taught. Mm-hmm. And the reason I call that an invitation is that's freedom for you too. Mm-hmm. You don't have to fit in the box. Because mm-hmm. I don't think I've met a human being where the box doesn't chafe them mm-hmm. in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. It seems harder for men in some way though, because if a man or a young boy says, you know, I want to wear a dress or I want to play with dolls, it's like, it really has this big conversation about masculinity and what that means and why they can't do something like that, right? Whereas my little girls, I have two little girls, they play with trucks, they wear pants, they wear blue, they wear hats backwards, they don't like to wear dresses and it's not an issue. But when it comes mm-hmm. to little boys, I find it way more of a conversation.
Sure. I know you're talking specifically about childhood.
Right.
And kids, you said mm-hmm. it's really hard for boys, mm-hmm. but of course, girls are not taken seriously mm-hmm. and not paid attention to and mm-hmm. not celebrated in our culture. And mm-hmm. Anything that has to do with quote unquote how genders should be treated is pretty much, it's okay to swear, right?
Oh, please fucking it's hell.
You did it already. It's pretty much a fuck ton of bullshit for anybody who experiences it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, again, my social media, you know, has people who have all kinds of genders, who are all kinds of genders on it.
You know, I think too, a lot of parents are sometimes, you know, not knowing how to, when they hear things from their kids or they feel like their kids are questioning, you know, they themselves don't know how to give them direction or how to sort of, you know, propel them into the next place where they want to go. So do you have any advice for parents with, you know, maybe young children that are possibly questioning or trying to figure out, you know, gender, identity, these kinds of things. What do you think is the best thing for parents to do?
Mm-hmm. I love that you said that. The advice that I have is say to your kid, I love you. What would you like me to do?
Mm-hmm.
That is always the best approach. Mm-hmm. And really, really keep an eye on how our current approach to this exact subject mm-hmm. pathologizes kids. They're struggling with their gender identity. Mm-hmm. They're questioning their identity, right? They're wrestling with this issue of gender, right? It's when I was a kid, I did none of that. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could have articulated, you know, as well as I can today as a 44-year-old, what was up with me mm-hmm. when I was six, right? But I wasn't questioning anything. I was mm-hmm. just a beautiful, you know, gorgeous My Little Pony in a human body. Mm-hmm. And I was struggling with the world. Mm-hmm. I was struggling with the beliefs of others. Mm-hmm. I was struggling with the hate I was getting.
Mm-hmm. To this, explain it to a layman like myself, is mm-hmm. there a difference, gender and sex? Are they two different subjects, or are we talking about the same thing? Is there biological sex, which you can transition and become transgender when, you know, your genitalia changes and you become transgender? And is there another conversation about, but is sex and gender two different things?
Yeah. And I know they are two different things mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. both are just teeming with wild, colorful, vibrant variation.
Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Not just in human beings. I mean, that's animals across the board. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, just one wild example to throw in, there are people who are intersex whose genitalia does not fall along mm-hmm. any sort of, like, boys have a, what do they have? PP and girls have a VV, right?
Mm-hmm. You can say penis and vagina.
Say in Australia.
A penis and a vagina mates.
Okay, great. Those, right? So there are people who don't, who are born and that's not true for them right. physically, right? So right. what happens, what I witness again and again and again, is people want to use a phrase like biological sex to just be mean to people like me. That's all.
Right.
And to clarify too, because I think there's so much misinformation out there, mm-hmm. that people sometimes get confused with gender and sexuality. You know, they think that those two are two interchangeable.
Oh, I'm glad you said that.
Which are definitely not. Would you care to kind of let the listeners in on that, please?
Yeah, for sure. Sexuality is who you like mm-hmm. or don't like, who you want to do mm-hmm. it with, who you don't, mm-hmm. right? And gender is the expression mm-hmm. of who you are.
Mm-hmm. I had a question that was sent to me when I mentioned to my social media that we were going to have this conversation. Mm-hmm. And the question was, I have young daughters and I feel nervous about someone who's from the other sex going into that bathroom because of the safety from my daughters. And I just don't know what could happen. And which is, you know, people, this is all a very new subject for people and they're having to wrap their heads around it, which is mm-hmm. understandable too. It's, you know, everything's understandable as long as it's not laced with hate. So what would you say to that mom who's got young daughters? Like, what would you say for her to think about or tell her girls?
Mm-hmm. There are two things I would say. Google around, try to find credible journals. The mm-hmm. statistics will let you know that predators are almost 100% straight men. Mm-hmm. They're not trans people. Mm-hmm. And so much so that I personally have never read an article of a trans person mm-hmm. being a predator in a locker room. Mm-hmm. Never heard of an example, never saw it in the press. Mm-hmm. Just as an aside, I don't ever want to see a locker room for the rest of my life. I don't know about you, but it's not like people like me are like, you better let us in there. Yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, I'd rather stay home, but thank you.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I would say. And the second thing I would say is, if you, we, throughout human history, we, this is going in quotes, we need to save the women and children. Have been used against marginalized people. Mm-hmm. It was part of the reason that in the States that there were separate bathrooms for Black and white people. That excuse was used against Black men in particular. Mm-hmm. And it was used against Jews before the Holocaust in the Weimar Republic. Mm-hmm. And prominent example, we need to save the children, was used against the women in Salem. Mm-hmm. That they were predatory toward children. Mm-hmm. So it gets really, really dicey when that is your sole reason to keep rights away from other people. And that's your sole, the spearhead of your accusation. Mm-hmm. And I understand wanting to keep people safe. And I mentioned all of that so that a parent could do some research and look in some spots and make sure they're safe.
You know, I love that you pause and take breaks for your mental health, because I think that that is something that's so important. We do that, Tamin and I, you know, we talk about that. We're trying to-
We talk about it, but we don't take any breaks.
Wait a minute.
We're like, I'm struggling so bad today. We're like, okay, next show.
Yeah, exactly. We're works in progress. But no, it's really important too. That's another sort of thing we're teaching our kids right now, you know? And it's something that's so important. Was that something like along your journey? When did that become important to you? Was that something that was instilled in a young age, or was that something you kind of had to grasp yourself? Oh. Because I'm sort of like struggling with that with my daughter too. I'm like, when, you know, how do I do this?
I'll tell you how, and you're going to hate me. You're going to hate the answer. Uh-oh. Because I do, I do one-on-one coaching with people. And a lot of the times it's a parent. Mm-hmm. And a parent usually comes to me if their kid's LGBTQ, but not necessarily. Mm-hmm. And they want me to coach their kid. Mm-hmm. And I always say, why don't you and I have a coaching session first? And we'll just get on and we'll talk about your kid. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let you in on the biggest secret. We never end up talking about their kid, because the answer is going to be, you have to demo it. Mm-hmm. You can't say to your kid, it's important to take mental health breaks. Okay, bye. I'm going to go do my to-do list and stress out, right? It just doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. You, whatever you want the most for your child, you actually have to do it. And it's the hardest thing. I do not envy parents up at all. That is the hardest thing on earth.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I know. It's like putting it into practice. It is hard, because it's like you feel like you're torn between here and there, and you've got responsibilities and you're trying to manage your children, manage your business. And it gets to be overwhelming. I actually feel like I'm having one of those days too. You know, and I know you were talking about mental health earlier. It's like one of those things.
Yeah. Yesterday I was, having such a shit day that I was like, got the nanny and we went and drank wine. I went to the movies with my husband and saw a really crappy movie, and it was great. But you know, the first thing I went to was
the movies
guilt.
With Fran Drescher?
I wish I went to the movies with Fran Drescher. Did you used to watch The Nanny? That was my favorite show. Mr. Sheffield. Oh man. It's dating me back. I used to love that show, Step by Step and Full House.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Those are my three things. Now I've forgotten about my mental health because you made me feel so good about it. I think that, I don't even know. That's the problem with mental health, right? I don't even know when I started the guilt and the shame and the beat myself up mentally. Like, you don't even know where it starts. It's like these automatic negative thoughts that you have from, I guess, your surroundings and your environment and the people and your, I don't know. It's just like, when did I start having such low self-esteem? And I had a birthday recently, and I thought,
yeah,
my goal is not stuff and money and any of that stuff that we go, oh, the next year I want to do this or buy this or go here. It's just to love myself more. That's literally all I want for this next year. I want to stop, you know, because, and this is hard for me to say out loud, like the perception of what people have of me of like, oh my gosh, you're lovely. You're great. You're sweet. You're fun. Whatever they have, I don't feel that. So it doesn't really matter what people think of me, because my whole life I thought, well, I really want that validation, but I kind of have part of it now and it doesn't make me feel any better. So it's like that I have to forgive myself for what I'm not entirely sure, but forgive myself and to be kind to myself. I don't know what that looks like. And to love myself, because I don't know how I can possibly love the people in my life if I don't love myself. And I don't know, sometimes I do, sometimes I love myself, but not all the time. Definitely not all the time. And imagine me saying that to my husband, hey, honey, I've been with you 15 years. I love you sometimes. Or my kids. Like, I couldn't even fathom that, even in their shitty moments and even in their bullshit. And my husband was being a annoying whatever last night, and I still loved him.
Might not so like him, what though.
It might not like him, which I cannot like myself. That's okay. I should, you know, if I fail or if I
my husband does that too. It's terrible.
If I screw up, you know, but yeah. I mean it is. It's like that it sounds such a buzzy word, like gotta love yourself. But
it's hard, it really sometimes.
Is the world will change if we all did. Right?
I mean, one would hope, right?
I'll let you in on a tiny window, because you already said it so beautifully and so eloquently. But supposedly by the time you're 7 or 8, your internal self-hate system is good to go. And in studies, it's called socialization. I mean, as in almost everybody goes through that process where you take the what they're telling me is wrong with me and you make that an internal thought.
Oh, so you take in the external of what they're saying, and it goes.
And I think feel like I'm just, my kids are 7. We've got a little one, but Brock's now kids are 7, and I'm like, I'm doing it to her. And at least I have some awareness, because if you don't have awareness, how can you change? But like the other day, I was braiding her hair, and I was like, you know, trying to, and she was, and I'm like, oh, you can never sit still. Like, what are you doing? Like, there's these little messages that we give them, like she's a screw up because she can't do this, which is so silly. It's just braiding her hair, but you do it as a parent and you don't know you're doing it as a parent. And it's like, at least there's some awareness, but I just hope it's not too late.
Yeah. Well, and imagine adding on to that a kid who's LGBTQ or a kid who's neurodivergent or a kid who is in any way different than or in any way less capable to act like their parents want them to act. I tried for years not to be so femme, and it just, my femme is too powerful. It just oozes out of every single pore that I have, right? And I felt for the longest time that it was my fault that I couldn't control it.
Because that's what you were programmed, like from the beginning, sort of feeling and hearing.
Not just programmed, life and death. I mean, I would lose my parents, my home, the food, the, right, you name it, the love, the acceptance, all of that would be gone if I couldn't just keep all that under control somehow. And I absolutely could not, which was not honestly choice. My saving grace.
Yeah. It's who you are. It's not a choice.
It's not and a choice. Can you imagine trying all, to not be who you are? I mean, that's
no.
He's like, yes.
I'm right there with you.
You definitely could. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is something that is so against like every fiber of your being, is like not being the person that you are. It's like always being, you know, not only like untruthful, but you're just, it's like a show. You're just acting. I mean, it's not.
And that's why, isn't it why suicide rates are so high? Because imagine growing up thinking something's wrong with you and then going back to shame. And then you have so much shame that you just can't take it anymore. And I think that the most important thing about this podcast is, if parents are listening, it's like acceptance and loving your child in every way is the only way for them to grow into amazing human beings. Because when you don't, then... I mean, then the opposite is possible, and you never want to live with that, you know?
Yeah. Can I tell you one?
Yeah, please do.
I mean, I just, there's an organization here called GLSEN, and every year they do a school climate survey for LGBTQ kids. Mm-hmm. And so they do a survey of like, well, how many trans kids are there? How many kids identify as gender fluid nowadays, right? But they also do cultural questions. And the study that just came out found that a child having one adult in their life who affirms who they are cuts their suicide risk in half. But of course, that statistic tells you that a whole heck of a lot of kids have zero adults in their life.
Yeah.
They don't know that unless they know that a whole lot have none.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we talk a lot, actually, just back to your point on the show, is talking about the helpers and the people that come into your life with a helping hand and to kind of help, you know, guide you to the next place or whatever that point that is in your life. Was there somebody like that for you? Was there somebody that kind of was your helper?
Yes. I mean, in a trillion ways, there are what we call the transcestors, the ancestors, you know, that have opened the door. Mm-hmm. One of them is Kate Bornstein, who wrote a book called On Men, Women, and the Rest of Us. That's the subtitle. The title is Gender Outlaw. What a great title. And it's a memoir about Kate's life. And the book came out in 1996. So folks think, and I was graduating high school, folks think that this is trendy and this is new, you know, the whole non-binary thing, but we are ancient, actually. But even in the modern sense, people have been doing this movement for decades already.
How is your relationship with your family now?
I am estranged. I don't have a relationship with them.
Which is probably the healthiest thing, which is the healthiest thing.
Yes, indeed. It was not the easiest decision at the time, of course, because that's fraught. But once you get some space, I'll speak about myself. Once I got some space, it turned out to be the healthiest, most lovely decision for me possible. People got weirded out. Sorry, you want to ask another question? I'm just so excited to talk to you.
No, but how do they, are they trying to get back into your life? Are they wanting to understand and learn to be part of your space, to be in your space, or have they accepted it as well? Because I can't imagine being a mom. If my child murdered someone, I'd be like, I still love you, honey. I'd be like sitting there, she's innocent. Like, I don't know if my child could do anything. And for me to not, like, for me to not want to learn or
you spoke them. Earlier. Do you know the LGBTQ phrase to read someone? I don't mean to read you, but you spoke earlier about always going back to shame.
Oh yeah.
I'm not estranged from my mom because she's a bad person.
Right.
I didn't make that decision because she was wrong. She did something wrong. Right. It just was the decision because it was healthy.
Yeah.
And I know that even could still be heartbreaking for a parent. You asked me directly, are they trying to get in contact?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, right.
They're blocked.
Right.
It was the boundary I set up and I stuck to it.
Right.
And I even asked my partner to do the same.
Yeah. So,
because often in these situations, they'll try to use a third person, right, to get in there. To me, it not only was the healthiest decision, it was, in a sense, the most necessary decision.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't need a quote unquote good excuse or good reason.
Yeah, boundaries are boundaries.
To be honest, yeah. Go ahead.
And also, I think for your mental health, too. I mean, that's really important that you prioritize that. And I really appreciate you sharing that because I know there are a lot of listeners out there that probably are estranged from their family or their parents. May not know, you know, are there other, I mean, I'm sure no, but like having this conversation, it just reaffirms that what they did was for them, you know, and for their mental health. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's helpful. It's helpful that you're sharing that. So I do appreciate you telling us that.
Of course. Yeah. And actually for the healing of the planet, mm-hmm. not to be too poetic or grandiose, but there was a ton that I could do spiritually mm-hmm. when that dynamic was off the table. Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, well, first of all, anyone that will listen to me, I love to tell them just because mm-hmm. someone is genetically related to you does not mean they get complete full 24/7 access to your heart, mind, and psyche, which seems to be the belief that people have. Mm-hmm. And making sure that boundary was in place just opened the door for me to do a ton of healing that couldn't have happened otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I hope that that stuff, you know, affects not just me, but everybody.
You know, I think that's interesting that you're bringing up healing and spirituality, because I was looking, when I was looking at your Instagram earlier, I saw that like at the beginning of your life, you were going to church and there was some religion mm-hmm. involved. Did that ever mm-hmm. come back into the picture now that you've sort of, you know, made this this boundary, you know, with your parents and everything? Is religion a part of it at all? Is it more spirituality? What does that look like for you?
Well, I studied at a Buddhist monastery, which is a very, I did Soto Zen, mm-hmm. which is a very strict version of mm-hmm. Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And so religiously, I am still a student of Zen, mm-hmm. but it is one of those Eastern religions that kind of straddles into what we, you know, what folks in the West think of as spirituality, mm-hmm. in the sense that, you know, we're not worshiping anybody. There's no deity. There's no, you know, there's nothing beyond what mm-hmm. we can tell from this reality that we're in right now, that we're asked to have faith in. Mm. Does that help speak to her?
It does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it does. Okay.
And to me, the only point of life is to end self-hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel people like if we end self-hate, we'll end like every horrible thing that's happening in the world.
Right?
Like, well, yeah, if we all just loved ourselves, I don't think we'd be fighting at all.
Yes.
No killing.
There'd be no war. There'd be no more. Like, there would be nothing. There would just be acceptance, because if we accept ourselves, we can accept other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and accept their choices too. I think that's a big one. I think that especially what's going on right now with COVID and vaccinations, it's like, you know, we like to be on one side and fight against other people's choices, and you don't know what people are going through. You don't know anything about what they're dealing with. So I don't know. I think compassion mm-hmm. is the number one thing, but again, compassion with yourself is like the first step, you know. Mm-hmm.
Can I give you an example? Mm-hmm. I have to have compassion for me first. Mm-hmm. It's got to be at the top of the list. So yeah. I often have, we joked about you stalking me, but I've had like real life stalkers, right? In the world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I could say, I was taught I need to be really nice. I'm calling the police. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain circumstances where your safety and psyche gets mm-hmm. trumped mm-hmm. by the person trying to, you know, trespass a boundary and trying to hurt you. And mm-hmm. you have to just simply put a stop to that, even though it may not seem nice in the moment. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense.
You said that, because being nice is something I know for me, and possibly Tamin as well, like from a young age, you know, be nice, be nice, be nice. It's like mm-hmm. instilled, you know, and I can hear it like over and over and over again. And I'm really trying not to do that with my daughter, you know. Be kind is one thing. Like
yes.
definitely want her to be kind, to be a kind person. But I think you're right. She has to value herself. And it's not about just being nice to make the other person feel comfortable. If you know, like how that is. So it's like, it's a balance, you know, but it's kind of deprogramming also ourselves, which is hard. It's hard to deprogram.
You made me think of misogyny, mm-hmm. you know, and how, if we think of it as a cultural system, mm-hmm. teaching every daughter to quote unquote be nice mm-hmm. is actually just teaching her not to speak up when things are unjust mm-hmm. a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So it's like the be nice philosophy is actually doing great harm. Mm-hmm. in that case. And there are times when she's going to need to say something mm-hmm. to someone that is absolutely not nice, but must be said for what is just.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like when you speak up, it's like, if you're a woman or mm-hmm. whatever, is that right? Am I saying it right? Or identify with feminine energy.
No, if you're a woman,
it's like you are said that you're bossy or that you're a bitch mm-hmm. or that you're opinionated mm-hmm. or, I mean, especially in my line of work, my husband and I are in the film business. We have a few TV shows that we're developing right now. And it's like, I seem to always be the only feminine energy in the room. And when I speak, no one really looks at me. No mm-hmm. one really mm-hmm. looks my way. And I'm like, I created half this freaking show with my husband. Mm-hmm. Like, I matter yep. as well, you know? And I work my ass off. I raise my two kids. I'm constantly out in the world trying to be better, make it better. Like, I hold just as much space as somebody else of the opposite sex, gender. Guys, see, I don't know what I'm saying. Is I saying it wrong? Well,
no, I mean, that's another spot where you might be trying to use language that's nice. Okay, you don't need to be nice. Good. You can just say, men.
Okay, good.
You can just say,
see,
it.
I'm learning. I'm right? learning.
It may not be quote unquote yeah. nice to say that men are able to speak generally whenever they want to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And other folks are not. Right. Right. That sometimes you got to just come out and say it.
That's how it feels. And I yeah. hopefully I have two very opinionated young girls in my life who mm-hmm. I hope that the next generation, the generation after that, they feel like they are being heard. Just like I feel like for you, the next generation of non-binary, transgender, they feel like they're also being heard. I hope we get to that point where we don't have to have as many of these conversations because people just get it. They just understand, you know, and hopefully we get to a point where people don't find this as something that is confusing or questioned, you know, so hopefully mm-hmm. we get to that point. So
that's what it's like with kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, I walk into a room of, you know, teenagers and there's no need to explain mm-hmm. anything. There's yeah. no translation, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're working hard as parents to sort of shift, you know, the ideology that we were taught. You know, I think we're trying to do the best that we can for our kids, you know, and hopefully that makes a difference, you know, in the yeah. future for everybody, because it's again, it's like, you know, you hear things that you were brought up with and it's a matter mm-hmm. of deprogramming and, mm-hmm. and, you know, trying to do the best for your kids, for everybody, you know, so it's. Hopefully, you know, everyone will get on board too and yeah. and try to change the way, you know.
Before we let you go, Jeffrey, what is the one message for people that you'd like to say or like something you'd like to leave us all with?
Yes.
There is nothing wrong with you. The thing you were told is most wrong with you is your superpower. It's your gift to the world. Mm-hmm. Mine being, you know, too queer, too LGBTQ, right? I was always told that's wrong with me, but, you know, look at me today. Mm-hmm. Offering that without shame is my life, my brand, my way that I help others. Mm-hmm.
Well, for those that have not looked at Jeffrey Marsh's Instagram page, you have to, because they are so inspirational. I mean, I couldn't stop. I went in the best Jeffrey Marsh hole possible.
Oh my goodness. I don't know. I don't know if he's ever heard that.
And I know you're trying to wrap up, but I have to say, we established you both are good parents.
Oh.
Did you catch that?
I hope so.
Thank you. You know what?
No, I hope so. You're good.
I hope
so. Because it's incredibly difficult to be where you are.
Right.
Your parents have so few tools, and you are trying to impart to your kids something where they won't have a terrible life, right? Where they won't mm-hmm. be traumatized, where they won't be such, you know, under the thumb of these systems that mm-hmm. that tell them they're worthless. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of in the middle, and both of you, from what I can see, are just navigating that middle so beautifully with yeah. panache, with aplomb.
I mean, I think I like do it wrong, and then at least I'm aware, and then I try to make it right. Like my daughter said, I don't want kids. She goes, I don't want kids. This is what she said. And I went, you want kids. See, look at me. All my shit on her. I'm like, no, you want kids. And she's like, no, I don't want kids. I'm 7 years old. I can decide what I want for my life. And I'm like, you're going to want a family. And then I was like, oh my goodness, I need to stop. And then my husband's like, Tamin, she's 7. Just let her have. And I'm like, you're right. Whatever you want, honey. Like, you can live your life and whatever you want. If you want kids, great. If you don't want kids, that's fine too. And I'm sitting there going, I must have grandbabies. And then I was thinking, well, at least I know that's horrible. And then I'm thinking, you know what? It's fine. She doesn't have to have kids. It's fine. And I'm like, at least I have another one. I have kids. See, that I have issues. Cause I love babies. And I know I'm fucked up. I get it.
I don't think liking grandbabies is quote unquote issues, but
no. But at least I was aware. I was like, no, you want kids. I was like, oh my goodness. See, I just put all my shit onto her.
But no, you're doing the right thing because you heard it. But it also reminds me that because you're saying that, my daughter was like, I am not getting married. I don't want a wedding.
And you're like, no, you are.
No. You know what David said? David overheard it. He's like, great. Just save me a ton of money.
There's a few. Yeah. Saved a few bucks.
Exactly. Exactly.
To get deep for a second, yeah. If I had had moms like you, you know, if one of you had been my mom, I think my life would have been very different. Aww. Right?
Oh, we are here sense. And we are...
You're bringing the mom energy. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. We can be your mom.
Yeah, we can easily be your moms.
I don't know. I just hope I'm not fucking her up. I really do because she's so hard on herself. And I think, is that because she watches me be hard on myself? Or is it just because that just is who she is? And I don't know.
Neither.
I love her and I give her so much love. And at least I'm learning and trying to be better. And that's all I can do. That's all I can do in every subject. At least I'm trying to be better and trying to work on my shit. Mm-hmm. And I say, like, so many people on my Instagram are like, well, tell me some marriage advice because you've been together for 15 years. And I said, work on your own shit. Because in a marriage, it's so easy to dump your stuff onto someone else and to blame and to accuse and to all the things that you don't like about yourself onto the other person. And the number one thing I would say is work on yourself. And if you want to be a better parent, work on yourself.
Yeah. But Tamin, don't be so hard on yourself. I just had therapy today. And you know what he told me? You're doing the best you can. And that's it. You're doing the best.
But can I be better? Can I just be perfect?
Again, it comes back to misogyny, but the moms are always to blame.
Right.
And I just heard you attempt to blame yourself, right?
Yeah.
Why is my kid this way? Oh, it's my fault, right? Then you know, your kid has a ton of people and
it's life. My husband's fault. Why the hell didn't I think it was his fault? You go, girl.
Blame Sean, okay?
I'll be like, Jeffrey said it was your fault. Why am I blaming myself?
I'm okay with that.
I'm like, you need to do some work on yourself. Well, this was an amazing conversation. I think you, every time you speak, I'm sure you save lives. And that is probably a lot, you need to walk around, which I'm sure you do, knowing that, you know, people are around because of you. Yes. So that's a,
you are so inspirational. Thing. It's, I mean, I, like I said, sucked in. I was like, I cannot stop them because you just are. You have that gift. You have a gift.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Projection. I mean, you have the gift or you wouldn't recognize it.
Yep.
Ooh.
We all have the gift.
Can you let everyone know where they can find you? I know we've talked about your Instagram.
My home address? Is that what you?
Yes. Please tell us your social security number and your bank details, please.
Come hang out on all the social platforms. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Marsh, Marsh. And I mean, we didn't even talk about it, but my audiobook just came out. It's already a bestseller. It's called How to Be You. You'll hear my voice.
I love your
telling
voice,
you that you're lovely.
Yeah.
And can we thank also you mention so much. That you have a winged eyeliner that can cut glass? I'm jealous.
I can't even do that. I've given up at this point. Really.
You know what's up.
There's some my tricks. You kind of have to like hang upside down on a bar.
Love that. Sounds great. I'm going to implement that into my life. My husband.
You should.
Yeah. My sex life will skyrocket that week. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. And guys, you can find us on Women on Top Official on Instagram.
And Women on Top Podcast on Facebook and our Clubhouse group, Women on Top. And don't forget to rate, subscribe, and comment wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. Alrighty. And I am Tamin Sursok.
And I am Roxy Manning.
And we are Women. On
While many investors chase a tech boom that has yet to fully materialize, and major indexes already flirt with record highs, it feels like we're running out of those under-the-radar opportunities with the potential to elevate your overall portfolio. But with Masterworks Advisors, you can diversify your investment portfolio beyond stocks and bonds and into blue-chip contemporary art. It's an asset class that's outpaced the S&P 500 for the last 28 years by 64%, and the process doesn't require millions or art expertise. In fact, over the same period, art investing has been an effective way to reduce volatility in a portfolio relative to rate of return. So schedule a call with Masterworks Advisors at masterworks.com/skip. That's masterworks.com/skip. This advertisement relates to the provision of advisory services by Masterworks Advisors, LLC, and is not intended to offer or solicit investment in any securities. Masterworks Advisors is affiliated with Masterworks.